Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your hosts, Matty Wood,
Matthew Davis,
and the Roto Gut, Vlad Sedler.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. My name is Vlad Sedler, and I'm here, as always, as usual, with my co-host, Matty Wood Davis. We're recording on Thursday, June the 2nd, and you'll be hearing this mostly over the weekend, Friday, June 3rd, and on, and it's a very special edition because of the day that we are recording. What's up, Matt?
Hi, good evening. We are recording a little bit later in the week, which shakes things up for us quite a bit, but the outline's fun for this evening. We're going to be dissecting what's going on this weekend up ahead in regards to pitchers and hitters and matchups, and then giving a little preview of the Fab that's going to be coming up on Sunday. You're going to be coming into town next week on Wednesday. You arrive. You'll be in Chicago. Brock arrives on Tuesday. We've got a lot of fun activities going on in Chicago. We're heading to the Dodgers at White Sox game. And so looking forward to all that. We'll be meeting some colleagues that we work with at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. Some of us we haven't met in person, so that's really exciting as well. So a lot going on, and good things are happening in fantasy baseball too. I feel like I'm the Undertaker gif right now, at least for my NFBC main event team in Las Vegas, because I was in the shitter, and I'm now sort of doing, you know, the Jack
Crawling Nicholson way out.
knocking on the door here a little bit. So, I'm, you know, feeling energetic and excited to talk fantasy baseball.
Yeah, I actually hadn't even thought to look at this to see who the pitching matchup was. And obviously things can still change, but as of now, it's lining up for a little cap time. Tony Gonsolin and Johnny Cueto, that might be the matchup that we'll get to see in person.
Yeah, I'm eager to see how Tony Gonsolin fares against this New York Mets team that is absolutely on fire. And this could potentially be an NLCS preview that we are going to see for this series with the Mets and the Dodgers. It should be a good one.
And that's a good place to start. So one of the things we wanted to do, since you'll be mostly hearing this on Friday, and hopefully you hear it before lineups lock, definitely going to recommend you checking that out. But we wanted to look at some of the matchups that are going on this weekend, because there are some fantastic series going on. Maybe help you with a little bit of lineup decisions, both in 12 and 15 teamers, really sort of broke things down as far as our process and how we look at things in terms of players that hitters that were starting in our lineups based on, you know, ballparks, opposing pitchers, splits, and all those type of things. And then a little look at the upcoming Fab weekend and the schedules for the next couple of weeks. But that is a great place to start. That Mets-Dodgers series kicking off Thursday night. So, you know, one game will be in the books. And, you know, right now that Mets team is just absolutely on fire. They have the best record in the NL. Yankees do have a couple of less losses, played a couple of less games. Yankees have the best record in baseball. The Mets have the best in the NL, and the Dodgers probably would have had the best in the NL if it were not for having to play the Pirates and losing five games to them.
Yeah, they've been getting bullied by them. it's funny, every day I have the I guess I don't even know what you want to call it, but I'm able to gamble online, you know, on the DraftKings Sportsbook, FanDuel, Caesars Palace, wherever you want to do your betting. And I'll go check to see what we have available at FTN Bets for MLB or NBA, et cetera, whatever sport's going on. And then I'll kind of check the odds. And anytime the Dodgers are playing the Pirates, like Julio Urias is a -320 favorite. Okay, there's nothing good that's going to come from that. I mean, what are you going to do with that? You can't do anything with that. And then lo and behold, they keep getting crushed. So, it's interesting to see. Sometimes they say if you could lose to one team, then you potentially could lose all, which some say is false, but obviously that is true in to some extent. But the Dodgers are, an elite team. They have the most exciting top three in all of baseball. And the New York Mets are bringing it as well with Marte, Lindor, and Pete Alonso. So it's going to be an exciting series. And shout out to the Mets for keeping their shit together, at least for now, because they don't have Max Scherzer. They don't have Jacob deGrom, and even Tyler McGill, who's been, you know, successful at the beginning of the season. So if they're patient enough and don't, you know, turn into the LOL Mets, they could have something brewing here. So I'm eager and anxious, excited to see this series. It should be a fun one. Who's on the mound? We've got Bassett. He's going to be on the mound after starting. Is that Friday?
Friday night, Chris Bassett and Tyler Anderson. On Saturday, it's going to be lefty David Peterson and Walker Buehler, and then Trevor Williams on Sunday against Julio Urias. So obviously on the Mets side of things, it's not ideal. Even Chris Bassett has not been quite the arm that people expected drafting him, usually in the ninth round or so, I think, or eighth or ninth round of 15 teamers, usually around round 10, 11 of 12s. And he's been struggling just a little bit. If I recall, in his latest outing against the, who the heck did they play? It was, he fared well against the Phillies. The previous two games, he got shelled for 8 runs against the San Francisco Giants, 4 against St. Louis. I was still pretty bullish on him for the course of the season. He's given up a little bit more on the home runs than we expected. But either way, I think at least that first game is probably going to have a pretty low total, probably around a run total of around 7 or 7.5, I think would make sense. Obviously, Tyler Anderson has been pretty fantastic. And then on the Mets side of things, you know, obviously they're facing 2 lefties and Walker Buehler, which in any other given week of any previous season, you'd be like, okay, I'm just considering maybe not playing all my Mets. But it's a little bit of a different scenario this season, just because, you know, Walker Buehler has been somewhat human, and Julio Urias just hasn't been good at all, like very unreliable, nowhere near earning his second round value. So it's interesting, you know, on that Mets side. I don't know if you noticed, but Luis Guillaume this dude has been red hot. He's been leading off against righties. I think, we used him in DFS a couple of days ago, and he's hitting 500 over the last couple of weeks, playing every day. And then even JD Davis, he got a rare start against a righty. Usually he's just in the lineup against lefties. But do you have any Mets offensive players in your lineup? And then outside of the studs, have you started to look at, you know, which guys you might be considering sitting against these pitchers?
In DCs, those, you know, the active managers and whatnot, they'll get in JD Davis or Guillorme because of volume, etc. If you feel comfortable with those matchups. But it's funny when you did mention Walker Buehler and Julio Urias, and then Tyler Anderson. Tyler Anderson's been the best pitcher of the three. Mm-hmm. He has a career high 21.2% K minus walk rate right now. And he's just been absolutely phenomenal. So I just kind of wanted to give him a pat on the back. Looking at the Dodgers and their matchups going into this weekend, I'm actually going to be rolling out whoever I have on them because of the lineup, the contacts, the ballpark. Some people might think that Dodger Stadium is a pitcher's park, but really it isn't when you look at the advanced metrics and, the park factors that are available. You can check out Baseball Savant. They have some StatCast metrics over there. Dodger Stadium is in the top 10 in park factor. And then when it comes to home run, I believe they're even a little bit higher. Yeah, it's second right now when grabbing the most recent data, which is 29% above the average. So I'm not going to be looking to really bench any of those Dodgers either. I'm not going to be feared for it. I think that it should be a good series, though. It was interesting. I had some struggles, actually, when looking at who to start this week on one of my main event teams, the Las Vegas main event team. And I have Gonsolin and I have Tyler Anderson. And I ended up starting Gonsolin and sitting Anderson. I'm not sure if that's going to be the right move or not, but the staff's pretty deep, so I had to make some tough decisions.
That's a really good problem to have. You have a couple of those guys, and that's your decision point. That really bodes well for your staff. I actually sat Gonsolin in a couple of 12 teamers. There's really no mm-hmm. reason to, because I mean the dude is he's been lights out, and he's been pitching into the sixth inning a couple of times. He's holding an ERA under 2. There's really no reason to, other than just that feel of, you know, hey, it's the Mets, it's a weekend game. I have some comparable options. So I think that was just a reason why I ended up sitting him. But, I think that works. I actually am in a pickle in one spot in a couple of main events. I have Cody Bellinger on two of three. He had been dealing with a little bit of a hip issue, which I think, you know, obviously he's been, you know, pretty much struggling. I think, the last couple of weeks haven't been bad. And, you know, he hit 263 in week eight, 300 in week seven, but he hasn't hit a home run since, in basically 3 weeks. So this could end up being a mistake. I know I've done that with Jock Peterson a couple of times when I see an opposing lefty in the weekend and I end up, you know, missing out on three home runs from a Jock Peterson. But I guess that's another good problem to have with outfield depth. I'm currently looking at playing Cal Mitchell of Pittsburgh over him just because, I mean, listen, both can steal some bases. Cal Mitchell, obviously, you know, we don't know much about him, but they get three games against Arizona, three righties. That's one call I think I'm going to have to consider. But I think in 12 teamers, Bellinger's an okay sit because you probably have a better outfielder to play. There will be times when Bellinger will be absolutely fine to play and just roll him out there. But I do think it's a little bit questionable with the hip issue. And then Edwin Rios, do you have any Rios? And the fact that, you know, they're facing all three righties, are you comfortable playing him? Or I'm sorry, two of three righties. He might sit one game or he may play it, but against the righties, he'll probably hit middle of the lineup. How do you feel about Rios this weekend?
Love him. If you got him, you should be happy with him. I have him in Barf and in the tag team. Are you familiar with the tag team satellite league that I set up? I started it last year with football and now we have it for baseball.
I think most people know that have Tourette's or you didn't just throw up, but Barf is a league. What does it stand for?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. If you're not aware, I just kind of went over that pretty nonchalantly.
But hold on. That would be a funny pod. That would be a great pod. If it was me and you, and you just had this random, I mean, obviously I'm not making fun of it. But it just, if you just like randomly just, yelled out Muncie, just out of nowhere in the middle of pods. I think that'd be pretty funny.
I kind of do that already. Barf, it's the Bay Area Roto Fantasy League and it has expanded. The great Laura Michaels, rest in peace, thought of this, getting people in similar, in the fantasy baseball community, writers and people that are, contributing. And now it's expanded. So there's other leagues as well on the East Coast and in the Midwest and the West Coast, I believe down south now in Southern California, et cetera. And they're all named different things, Earth or Barf or Glarf or whatever. It's an industry league. I want to say Sammy Reed. Let me check the standings real quick right now. So in our league, Sammy Reed is in first place. Eno Saris is in third and I'm in second and I'm in third. And then Bat Flip Crazy Toby is in fourth. That's the top four in Barf right now.
Nice. Nice. Is Alex Chamberlain in the Harf league by himself, the Hawaii league?
Yeah. It's a, no shirts allowed league and, mm-hmm. He's the only one in it, but, I feel like I haven't talked to that guy lately. I miss him.
We can have him on too. Brandon Nimmo, by the way, for the Mets, I was surprised. So, obviously he missed a few games. He was dealing with a minor injury and, back in the day, I mean, he's always been, a fantastic guy at taking free passes, but would sometimes not hit high in the lineup or wouldn't lead off against lefties. But Brandon Nimmo is actually hitting 300 against left-handed pitching. And I don't think it's necessary to just, going off of matchups where you see him facing two lefties that you would be sitting Brandon Nimmo. So I think he's potentially in play as well.
Yeah, I think he's fine. And you're seeing that in the volume. He's racking up plenty of weeks where he's having 20 plus at bats, 30 plus plate appearances. So and especially because he's a guy that draws walks. And I think that he's plenty good. He's leading off in a really good lineup. And this lineup is coming to fruition. Good things are happening over there in New York. So you can feel good rolling with him. And I haven't been a fan of Brandon Nimmo in the past. I think he's kind of like tapioca pudding or whatever. Good things could be happening with him. Real quick, we kind of glossed over the Edwin Rios though when we were talking about Barf. I think this could be a precursor, though, if and when the time comes for Muncy to get back. If Rios continues to kind of get the job done, so to speak, I don't think this is good you know, for the overall expected playing time for Max Muncy.
He's actually on a rehab assignment. I was surprised. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was going to be out longer than the minimum 10. So
yeah. He's coming back, which is fine, but I'm not sure that he just comes back and gets the volume that that you're expecting.
Yep. No, I could see that. And then also, by the way, keep tabs on Francisco Lindor and that horrific hotel room finger injury that he suffered. That he's out of the lineup on Thursday. Would be a shame if he missed any more games, because we definitely want to see him up against the Dodgers.
Shout out to the super fan that made that happen.
Next, we got the Padres and the Brewers. This is the pitching matchup marquee weekend. It's basically you got Joe Musgrove, Mackenzie Gore, and the return of Mike Clevinger on Sunday. And then for the Brewers, it's Corbin Burns, Aaron Ashby coming off a massive 12 strikeout outing. And then one of the biggest surprises of this season, even though he essentially broke out last year, former Padres first round pick, but now playing for the Brewers, Eric Lauer. So you got two left-handers there for the Brewers. And you know what? The Brewers have not really hit that well away from home. They're back at home here. But you know, they're facing those three tough pitchers. And I was kind of digging into these guys over the last couple of weeks and obviously playing DFS, but I think everyone is aware just how hot Tyrone Taylor has been, and the likelihood of him continuing to play consistently when Hunter Renfro returns. It'll probably come at the expense of Lorenzo Cain. But the rest of these guys have been cold. I mean, and Omar Narvaez is actually the only guy over the last 2 weeks for the Brewers that's hitting over 300, but no power to speak of. The rest of these guys, like the key of the clutch part of the order, Andrew McCutchen, Colton Wong, Christian Yelich, and Luis Urias, these guys are all hitting under 220 over the last 2 weeks. So is this guys like that, you just play, right? You don't overthink it. And then there's McCutchen, right? Who's basically like 0 for his last 30 or something. And he just recently tweeted, hey, I'm going to break out of this funk. I mean, we know he will, but he's kind of a borderline bat, right? In 12 teamers, you don't have to play him.
Yes. A lot to digest here. Starting with Omar Narvaez, just placed on the COVID list. If you're in a daily league, get him out. If you're in the NFBC, sorry to see it. You're taking a zero the rest of the week, and you'll have some decisions to make this weekend. Tyrone Taylor, I think he's going to be a cause of concern, kind of similar to Edwin Rios. Whenever a teammate comes back from the IL, it'll be the Hunter Renfro for the Brewers. I obviously think Renfro is going to get his burn. It's going to come at the cost of Cain and McCutchen. I think Taylor is sort of finding himself an everyday role or a majority role. And in today's landscape, that's going to be just enough or good enough. So when you see Renfro return, kind of let things shake out before you make any rash decisions with Tyrone Taylor, if you currently have him and you're riding this hot streak that we're rolling with. And then looking at one thing I found funny. Did you know the Brewers are leading Major League Baseball in home runs with 70?
I knew they were up there. I knew they.
I had no clue. I would have guessed that they were at the middle of the pack. I had no clue when I was kind of looking into their offense and seeing what they're doing. I thought that was interesting. And then the struggling people, Christian Yelich and Colton Wong and Luis Urias. They hit in a good lineup. They hit, you know, in the heart of it, in the thick of it. I think you just go with your volume and you go with those that you draft, and you got to just play those guys. You know, it's going to be a bummer when you're trying to get cute or galaxy brain things, and you're missing out on the volume and the top of the lineup stuff. And you know, good things are going to happen. Just let things happen. Going on over to the Padres, though, are you looking at the outline? Do you want to express your concerns a little bit more on that side?
I mean, the concerns is it doesn't get any more difficult than these pitchers. Burns, Ashby, and Lauer is the dead zone pretty much, you know, unless you get lucky or something breaks. But essentially, Manny Machado is the only one hitting, you know, well above average in this lineup against left-handed pitching, and you got two of them lefties. Obviously I think Cronenworth is kind of like a hidden guy, right? Cause he's exactly pretty much what we kind of thought he'd be. You almost forget that he's on the team sometimes cause he kind of produces at his typical pace, nothing exceptional. Usually don't see him slumping too hard. just a decent average major league hitter. At some point, I think maybe when Tatis is back, maybe it'll kind of spark things for them. But other than that, the only guys hitting lefties well these days are Haesung Kim and then Eric Hosmer, surprisingly, against his own handedness there. So, you know, those are the three guys we're looking at. Obviously, Hosmer's cooled off after his super hot April. And then I'm interested in some of these other guys here. We'll talk about them for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, for example, like Trent Grisham, if I have Trent Grisham against these three, no matter how hot he is, facing two lefties, he might sit one of those games. He's going to be hitting bottom of the lineup probably all three games. Not too interested in him. And then Luke Voigt's just cold as shit, man. I mean, his ISO against lefties is 0.035. I mean, he's really tough to play. And against these three, I don't think I could do it.
Okay. So I want to start with Cronenworth, actually. Let's just put him on the pedestal real quick. Is anybody talking about how shitty he's been? He's been absolutely terrible. Really, 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 really bad. So I wouldn't be starting him this weekend. Let's go over the Roto stats first. 2.11 average, 3 home runs, 19 RBI, while still getting to hit pretty much in the middle of the lineup. 25 runs, which is his best contribution, which is still sub 80, if you kind of extrapolate that. 0 stolen bases, a 0.111 ISO, and a 5.3 barrel rate. Get him out of your lineups. Eric Hosmer's hitting much better than Jake Cronenworth, but against two lefties, get him out. Trent Grisham, he's been the big bag poop of fire that goes on Ned's front doors. Get him out.
I was just going to quote you and just say dog shit.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what he's been doing. So get him out as well. Devil's advocate, though. I'll do that with Luke Voigt real quick. So he hasn't been good against lefties, and he does have reverse splits slightly, leaning towards right-handed pitching. But he's only had 42 plate appearances against left-handed pitchers this year. And he was on the IL with the bicep. So I kind of want to give him a little bit of a pass, especially because he just hit a home run yesterday. So being that he hits in the middle of the lineup, he does have the lefty versus righty, even though career-wise, still a small sample size. I think he could be okay if you're in a pinch. What's that?
Yeah, I kind of remember him being – I remember, like, for DFS, like, I would be playing Voigt against lefties. But he's a pretty even guy. Like, over the course of his career, you're talking
232
about
ISO against lefties with a 127 WRC plus. It's a little bit better against righties, but I mean, a 232 ISO against lefties career wise,
it's pretty good.
You might take that in your corner infield or utility spot, especially in a 15 team league. So I think that you could start him. And then him, Matt, rhymes with Kim. So going into him, he definitely gets the burn against lefties. And I think that when I'm kind of weighing things, especially on the weekend series, who's going to get the volume? How are they doing against, remove the name. How are they doing against the opponent handedness? So he's got a 190 ISO against lefties this year with a 143 WRC plus, and he can steal a base. He has 3 this year. I think sometimes you got to kind of lean towards, is he going to play? Where is he hitting? And then can he get you a steal? And sometimes I get desperate for that. So Kim and Voigt, I actually would be okay starting. Grisham, Hosmer, and Cronenworth this weekend, though, I'm out. And Cronenworth, more people need to be talking about him on Twitter because he's shit in the bed. It ain't good what's happening. And when Tatis comes back, it might be him that's out of some P team versus Kim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could be. Anything can happen. You bring up a good point about Voigt and just how bad he's doing against lefties, because that's something I like to look at, because when I see somebody that I'm used to being very good against a certain type of handedness and has extreme splits against them, when that's not kind of coming to fruition in the current season, I'm always expecting a little bit of regression, or I'm looking to see what perhaps could be the reason. For example, somebody like Justin Turner, or just the Dodgers in general, right? If you look at last season or the last couple of seasons, these guys always crushed lefties. Talking about like Chris Taylor, Justin Turner, there are just certain guys on the team, you just know they're always going to have better numbers against lefties, and they don't necessarily this year. And so it's interesting. I like to dig into that from time to time and just see, and then measure, right, over the course of the season, is, Voigt going to pick things up against lefties? Justin Turner against lefties, how that's all going to shake out over the course of the season, so long as they're all healthy.
especially in a 12-team, like a RotoWire online championship, I think that that's where you can take an advantage at the extreme level. Sometimes you can get that in the main event. You'll get people that are just fed up and tired. Someone starts off really slow, then they go on the IL. That's it. You're going to cut them. And that happened to Luke Voigt. And we were kind of starting to clamor about him getting sent to the Padres and, you know, the potential there and where he's going to hit in the lineup, et cetera. And things in baseball just don't happen so perfectly sometimes. And, you know, that's not the end of the story. And, maybe the bicep injury was part of those, you know, early, you know, season struggles and stuff. And that's what got him on the AL. So, you know, you kind of got to just pick things apart, and then, you know, things are different for each person. But I think in those OCs, even like Justin Turner, I don't think he's been cut by anybody yet. You would probably know more than me, but you got to hang tight, because especially with somebody like JT, he's, on the team and he's on the Dodgers, and he's still going to hit in the middle of it every single day. I don't care how bad or good he's doing on a given day.
100% rostered, by the way. He's 100% rostered in the OCs. Yeah. Edwin Rios is still available in 29% of leagues. He'll probably get scooped up in most of the rest of them. And then Max Muncy was dropped in 13% of leagues. He was 100% prior to this weekend. So with him on his IL stint, you'll probably see him on the way back. And by the way, Kevin Pillar, who came up, he was like that Homer Simpson, the Abe Simpson gift. He walks into the bar and walks out. Kevin Pillar, I have him on a bunch of DC. So I was like, woohoo, you know, I'm excited about this. Get some Pillar Dodgers action. And he had one hit in four games before he went down. So that didn't go well. Zach McKinstry, actually, if he happens to have like a hot weekend or hits a home run or whatever, he'll be in the mix in 15 team fab, because we've had a little bit of fun with him in the past. I think it was, what was it? Last April, was it? Just like the beginning of the year, he was up and just mashing. And so I think some people spent 50 plus bucks on him.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of interesting skills. He's not somebody that does steal a lot of bases, but if he does get a little bit of more PT, he's lefty bat, strong side of a platoon, et cetera. He provides multi-position eligibility, second base, middle infield, outfield. Maybe. But Justin Turner, though, real quick, he's kind of waking up a little bit. Maybe last week he hit 333. This week he's hitting 300. And then looking just even at his game log, four hit game, couple multi-hit games between before and after that as well. So maybe JT, he's got his jersey game coming up, and they have pine tar on the back of it. Have you seen that yet? The promos?
No.
Yeah. So they're going to have I don't know the date or which game it's going to be, but they're having his jersey giveaway, and it on the back of it by the 10 and Turner, it has, you know, the pine tar and whatnot right there. It's like baked into the jersey, which is pretty cool. So if you're in LA or in California and you want to get your hands on that, check out the schedule there.
Quick trivia for you. Quick trivia. Yeah. Who's second on the Dodgers in home runs behind Mookie Betts? Don't look.
Oh, shit. Trey Turner.
No, it's Edwin Rios. Mookie's got 16. Edwin Rios has 7. And then is a few-way tie with Bellinger, Chris Taylor, Will Smith, and Trey Turner will have 5. Freeman and Justin Turner with 5. 4. And Austin Barnes with 4.
So I actually wanted to bring him up a week or two ago, because I started kind of adding him when the position, you know, we were talking about how dusty it was. And I don't know if I did bring him up. Maybe I did. I can't remember.
Who, Rios?
No, Austin Barnes. Because Will Smith has been getting a little bit more DH burn, and Barnes had been having like the same amount of plate appearances as somebody like Francisco Mejia. And Austin Barnes has been kind of doing okay. So I had been finding him interesting, and then I was kind of rolling him out in some of my DCs and whatnot. So I'd want to mention him, but it's nothing exciting, obviously.
And then real quick, speaking of not exciting, Gavin Lux, only one home run this season. He's really been tough to play. I got him on like one 12 teamer, and I think I dropped him once and then picked him back up because I got an injured middle infielder. So I needed somebody, but man, just nothing there.
Zach Betancourt and I are currently starting him in our main events that is like in the top 20 or 30 overall.
Yeah,
but it's been tough. No, it's been tough. And Ian Happ home run alert. That's my guy. So that's good to see. Nice to see him. And then Julio Rodriguez, he major league leading, stole his 15th stolen base tonight. So that's cool to see. He has 15 already. That's insane. He's on pace to steal over 40. Wow. Where's he going to go in drafts next year, Vlad?
Who's that?
On the spot.
Who? Julio Rodriguez? He's going to be... I mean, so long as he doesn't get hurt, I'm not expecting any sort of major slump, but I mean, with those stolen bases and the fact that he could probably hit 20 plus home runs, I mean, he's going to be a hot one. It's going to be a second rounder, ADP 19. That's what I'm going to say. 19 overall.
I like it. Okay.
All right. Let's get to the fun series. We talked about the difficult ones and the hitters we may want to consider sitting. But this is one, obviously, anytime anyone goes to Colorado, it's, the ears perk, the eyebrows go up, and this weekend it's the Atlanta Braves in town, and they're coming through. They're striding in with a trio of gents of arms, Max Fried, Spencer Strider and Charlie Morton, who maybe, not so much, especially this season. He's just been, as you would say, poop. So tough matchup for tough matchups at least.
My daughter knows how to say poop now. She just learned that one. She goes poop, poop.
I like it.
You almost said it like just like her though. That's what it reminded me of. Is poop.
Yeah, she's looking at your middle infielders in your top 20 main event.
Yeah, the Gavin Luxes.
So this is an interesting series. I know a lot of us have Spencer Strider, and we're hoping that things go well for him in Colorado. Obviously, we saw his ERA balloon in that first start earlier this week. On Monday? Just a bunch of. I was watching it live. I was watching it while recording, being a guest on Paul Sporer's podcast, and it was like a bad Ozuna error, and then. In the outfield, and then that led to a Pavin Smith 3-run bomb, but that was it. He kind of settled in. He was fine. So this will be a lot more interesting. If I had to go, if I had to predict more like fantasy points, if I'm playing DFS or something over the weekend, I probably would pick Strider over Morton. But either way, you're always playing your Rockies. You're playing them all weekend. One thing I wanted to point out is this Brian Servin guy. He's been playing a lot, and he's been hitting really well. Those have picked him up have been really enjoying it. He had that 2-home run game in his, I think it was his first major league game. I remember because it was my one time playing. I haven't played too much of the high stakes DFS, but I entered a 555 and he hit 2 bombs. I went to the movies, go see Downton Abbey with a wife and some friends. And I look up, I'm like, oh, hey, nice. I like it. He was min salary anyways. But he's had a near even split, over the last 2 weeks, 25, at bats to Elias Diaz's 24, and he's been hitting well. I don't recall. Do you not recall his roster percentage in main events?
Absolutely. It is. I can pull that 32. Up now. It's 4%. in main events. Sorry. I'm looking at OCs. My bad. You have 8X the number I got there. You 32. Are correct. Yeah. 32% in main events. I was looking at OCs. My bad.
Yeah. And yes. catchers are rough, right? I mean, just the fact.
And last week, he actually had 2 more plate appearances than Elias Diaz as well. So I know small sample size in 1 week, but a little needle pusher. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you play the hot hand, you play who's hitting well, so yeah, that works. Now, like Elias Diaz is a stat beater.
I want to out of the 3 starters for the Braves, there's some things that I found interesting when looking at this series, especially because it reflected some of the roster percentages that we're seeing. So, out of the 3 starting pitchers for the Braves, we have Max Fried, Strider, and Morton going this weekend. Fried is the lowest. Ross or started out of the 3 this weekend at 89%, and that's in main events. And Strider and Morton are at 92%. And then when you look at OCs, Fried goes down to 76% with Strider at 86% and Morton at 89%. Now, the crazy thing is we're going to get suckered into a few things here. So one, we're looking at Coors Field, and that's obviously decreasing the starting percentage for Max Fried. Duh. But Strider and Morton had those, in air quotes, tasty, you know, Arizona Diamondback matchups in the two-step. Yep. So that increases the start percentage, and neither have good starts. Neither. Mm-hmm. Both ratios get shellacked. Sure, Strider goes with seven. He gets the seven strikeouts. That's good. And Morton gets five. But, man, it's gross. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those two steps, man. It's a mental mind F. It's a fucking game. It's so nasty. It's cruel.
It's an auto, right? I mean, it's like if you're not going to play someone for their two-step, then why do you even have them on your team is, I think, a lot of the mentality we have,
if I was in the main event, I would have rolled Fried or Strider, or I'm sorry, excluding Fried, I would have rolled Strider given the current condition and how he had been pitching. I would have, this is mean. I don't have Morton rostered anywhere. I was going to say something even more mean than that, but I'll just leave it at that. So I'm not going to put myself in that situation.
So I actually have Max Fried on the bench. I'm my best OC. Sure. And this is the one I'm,
yeah, it's an OC too, roster. 12 team.
Yeah, it's a 12 teamer. I have Strider, so I am playing him. I've got my two closers. So it's one of the. Well, I mean, it's a two step.
You did it. You did it.
And he's the shiny new toy, you know, and everything. But this is why. So I had the George Kirby two step. I was going to play. Got the Jordan Montgomery two step that started off pretty well. I played that. Verlander single. I'm in. Martin Perez, my latest pickup. Got him for cheap for his two step. First one went fantastic. Alex Cobb at Miami. Hope that goes well. And then my closers, I think I maybe already mentioned them, but Liam Hendricks and Taylor Rogers. So those guys are just locked in every week.
Yeah.
And so my decision was basically, this was actually a tough one, but I was between Darvish and Fried. And I looked at Darvish against, you know, and obviously that went crazy. That was a wild start. He went almost eight innings. Like had he not, he would have been fine. The start would have been totally fine. You know, three earned runs over seven innings with five, six Ks would have been okay. But he stayed in an extra couple batters. He ended up giving up another home run. So five earned runs, not looking good. I would be shocked if Fried had a worse start than that. So I can already tell you this is probably the bad decision. Darvish should have sat for Max Fried.
Will any of those starting pitchers have an Edward Cabrera-esque Coors Field outing? And how's that going to go in your Fab article coming out this weekend?
So one thing I am going out of town, not too far. We're not flying anywhere, but you know, my wife's birthday. So I'm going to have to get this article in on Friday night. So I'm going to, get it all in there, hopefully get the Sunday update in as well. But, you can already tell that the Edward Cabrera hype, it's interesting. So because of the nine strikeout game in Coors, because, shiny new toy pitches from Miami, it's a good ballpark, home park. There's a lot of interest there, but I do think the at Houston next weekend that he gets bumped to is going to keep them somewhat respectable. And the fact that a lot of folks don't have a lot of money. So it'll be interesting. They'll definitely be triple digit bids, but I do think that the fact that he gets at Houston next week kind of holds things back a little bit.
Okay.
Was that your question? Did you have a question?
No. I was just, because he's going to be, people are going to be asking you in the Discord about him because he just had a big outing. It was, you got to put an exclamation and point on it when you do that type of performance and you're doing it in Coors Field. 36% strikeout rate, et cetera. You mentioned the nine strikeouts. So team concept and everything in between is going to have people clamoring for him. I'm seeing him start against Washington, though, at home, and then he's a two-step the week after. And if that's true, then I think he might cost a little bit.
No, he's supposed to go this weekend, which means he's then going to go next Saturday.
Oh, is he? Oh, then he got pushed. Okay. So, okay. Oh, they never mind. I'm sorry. You are right, because they had the doubleheader and then they ended up bumping him up forward. So now he is in line for the two step this week versus next week.
At Houston and then at the Mets the next 2 weeks. So that's going to be kind of rough.
That will temper it a little bit. Do you think he sticks?
I think he sticks. I'm not. Yeah, I know him well and remember him from last year. And I know he's got some control issues. But he's got tremendous stuff. He's better than Eliza Hernandez at this point. I was actually on Eric Sumulski's podcast the other day, and he was talking about some chatter about maybe getting Eliza Hernandez at the back end of their rotation at some point, maybe helping them out with the closers, right? Like he might be better suited for a role like that because nobody seems to want to get any saves over there. So I don't know, something.
Cole Sulcer, insert any burning money gif you want, and then that's what you've got there. Oh man! And hey, Zach and I did it on our shitty main event team, so at least we did it on the one that sucks. Yeah.
That's the best. That's the best when you're when the bad things happen.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
And by the way,
you're like, you know, you start to look and it's like that one guy that sucks, but you have him on that one team, but it's your team that sucks. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Let all that bad juju go there. By the way, Tanner Scott, the lefty, former Oriole who came over in that Cole Sulcer trade, he's the one that secured the save against the Giants on Thursday night.
I thought that he could have been a guy for the Baltimore last year, and they kind of messed with him. He's got good stuff. Tanner Scott does.
Yeah, and
he is a lefty though, so I don't know how Don likes to really, you know, he kind of old school a little bit in that sense. But yeah, keep an eye on him.
Couple last notes on this series because we want to get to some of the Fab stuff as well. But Austin Riley, obviously, you're starting him, but 5 homers in his last 8 games. William Contreras, man, what is just a beauty. When you can get like a nice hitting catcher like that, you just love it. But he's hitting almost 400 the last couple of weeks. We saw some big bids on him. Looks like it's well-deserved. Randall Grichuk for the Rockies, just 1 homer since May 6th. I mean, Brendan Rodgers hit, you know, 3 times as many just the other day, you know, in 1 game. So interesting how much Grichuk will play. And then Jonathan Daza, I don't know if something's up with him because obviously he's been a staple in their lineup and he's kind of, you know, he had that pinch hit for, you know, that base clearing, you know, double or whatever in the game, pinch hitting, but then he sat a couple of games. There's no real rhyme or reason behind it, but that's something to keep an eye on because I think Jonathan Daza is solid. He should be in the lineup.
He got dotted. He got hit on the elbow. So not in the lineup today, but that's what's going on. But I think that's just a small, you know, contusion or little ouchie. And he's been hitting second too. So that's great. You know, anybody that's going to continue playing. Phil said it last week, and this is pretty much the name.
Oh, you listened. Game. That's nice of you.
What do you
listen to the podcast? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, I did not edit it and upload it. I didn't actually have to edit anything. I just had to add a couple things and slap it right up there. So you guys did a great job. But of course I listened. And it's keep it simple, stupid. That's the KISS method. And Phil pretty much said that. If there's anybody available in your league that's first and foremost just playing every single day, they have a pulse. But then if you're going to notice that they're hitting 1 through 5, you need to gobble them up. You need to scoop them up. I don't care what they did last week. I don't care if they're just coming off the IL, what team they play for. They're likely somebody, even somebody like Michael Chavis, who's actually kind of been playing okay. He's been hitting third for the Pirates. He's a perfect example of that. He's 62% rostered right now in the NFBC main event. He's getting his 20 plus at bats a week. It's just as a cheap example, as you know, something that Phil kind of touched on. I think that it's just something that you need to continue taking note of and noticing each and every week. Are they playing every day? Where are they hitting? That's all that really matters. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that absolutely. I mean, you know, you mean it's tough when you're dealing with, I know he talked about platoon split guys and why he's not really into Phil talking
like
about
Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson would be the big, you know, example of that.
Mm-hmm. Another
he even had a thread about it. By the way, he even had a thread about it actually. Right. So if you do want to know what Phil Dussault has to say about that and like splits and volume, etc., follow him. Is it Phil Dussault? Is that what his
he's got a number in there, I think 27. No, everybody follows.
Yes, he does. Yeah, so it is at Lusso Bunny Style. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. But if you're new to this podcast and you want to check that out on Twitter, it is a good thread about, you know, having how many of those home runs have you optimized? How much of those counting stats have you optimized because of the fiddle that the San Francisco Giants plays? And then if Jock's cold, and what are you doing with that? And you know, it's easy to ride a guy when he's hot, et cetera. So good stuff is always from the champ.
The weekend for the St. Louis Cardinals, Chicago Cubs, NL Central battle. And it's interesting because the doubleheader on Saturday, at least the way it lines up now, are with guys that are not rostered by anyone, really. I would be surprised unless you're in a 25 team keeper league. But it's Matt Swarmer and Caleb Killian on Saturday. And then Angel Rodon and Packy Naughton for the Cardinals on Saturday. So, yeah, interesting.
It sounds like boxing matches, dude. It sounds like some badass, like underground boxing or
UFC. Swarmer and Killian take on Rodon and Packy Naughton.
Nick Madrigal. Badass, right? Some of these guys have some K rates. I don't know much about these guys, to be honest with you. You're starting all your Cardinals, right? Giddy up. You've been doing that for the most part. And then roll your guys with volume as the Cubs. You get four games. The guys that are playing every day for the Cubs, roll them as well. I don't want to dig deep on these guys. They sound like some badass boxers. Don't mess with them at the bar. And you won't get bitch slapped like Jock Peterson did.
Yeah, this is true. By the way, Paul Goldschmidt, he's over the last month, he's hitting .398 with an OBP near 500, and only Betts and Judge have more homers than him in the last month. And if you recall, over I think the first 3 weeks of the season, he had only one home run going in. So Goldie, one of the best hitters in fantasy these days. Other people on that team, Brandon Donovan, the guy who's about to have Jace Peterson like position eligibility. He's playing every day in the lineup there every day. And then Nolan Gorman, that's really the key one of the weekend that we need to keep an eye out for, because he's out of the lineup again today on Thursday with back tightness. So obviously, Nolan Gorman would be nice for a 4-game series in Chicago, especially. You would know better than me if the wind's going to be blowing out there in those games, but and if the weather is nice, I don't know, but
the weather is going to be nice this weekend.
Okay.
It's like mid-60s usually and low-70s. It's been pretty bitching. And then this when my mom arrives, it's going to be high-50s and mid-60s. So screw you, nice. California, you're 90 to 100 degrees right now.
Yeah, it's not fun right now. Weather's not good out here.
And I don't have a sprinkler system because we get a little rain at night every now and then.
Cubbies, Nick Madrigal is back. Nico Horner, he's been hitting really well. He's the everyday shortstop these days. With Yan Gomes on the IL, PJ Higgins, he's been mashing. He's got a couple of home runs on the week. Seiya Suzuki, Jonathan VR, and Yan Gomes all still on the IL. Hopefully Suzuki's finger will heal, and he will be back soon. Other good starts just for the weekend. Obviously, you're playing all your Houston Astros. You're always playing your Houston Astros, but maybe obviously not Martin Maldonado usually, because probably you don't have Maldonado on your team, and that's a good thing. But they get 3 at Kansas City. New York Yankees, 3 against the Detroit Tigers. I love playing all my hitters against Tigers almost no matter what, streaming against them as well. And then the Cincinnati Reds, they're intriguing. They get 3 against Washington, 3 pitchers that you really don't know what you're going to get from start to start. Josiah Gray, our former Dodger prospect, he's not been as bad as Jose Berrios, but he's been one of the worst among qualified starting pitchers. He's one of the worst. So he's been tough to start. Eric Fetty is just like week to week. You just don't know if there's really nothing middling about him. He either has a nice gem or he gets, shellac, at least kind of from what I remember. And then Patrick Corbin, obviously one of the worst hitters over the last couple of weeks. So the Reds are interesting. They got some solid bats there. Playing time opens up in the outfield because Tyler Naquin, he's out for probably about a month. He's suffered a quad injury. Albert Almora has been hitting in the bottom of that lineup. Remember him, the former Cub. He's hitting like .350 over the last couple of weeks, so he'll continue to play. Kyle Farmer with a combo meal home run and a stolen base on Thursday. He's hitting like well over .400 over the last 2 weeks as well. So, and then Mike Moustakas on the flip side, 2 for 30. He's been horrific.
Imagine if you just drafted Kyle Farmer over Javier Baez. You'd be in just such a better spot right now, right? It's yeah. like Javi Baez makes me sick, but he's on a mental break. So hopefully that'll figure things out for him. Cincinnati, I think with the outfield situation, it's going to be interesting with Naquin leaving there. But things could still continue to get muddy. So I don't know about potentially looking to get eager or anxious about adding, you know, Reynolds or Almora. And then Moustakas, if I mean, like the example earlier, if you have Voit and Moustakas, I'm starting Voit over Moustakas, even with those pitching matchups that you mentioned.
Yes.
Josiah Gray has good stuff, even though the Nationals rotation has been a box of chocolates, as Forrest Gump would say. Moustakas just, I'm not seeing it or feeling it. I think he's cooked. Yeah. It's hard to say that when you're, you know, being serious, you know, and it is still, we're what, a third of the season through, but the injuries are starting to pile up. The time missed is starting to, you know, kind of come in between as well. And we've seen contact and plate discipline issues in the past. And yeah, it's not good.
In his Kansas City days, he did obviously, you know, obviously we had a couple of seasons where he hit over 35 homers. I mean, the latest one was in 2019 and actually provided decent batting average. It was in the 250s, even had a 270, a 280 season. But basically he's hitting about 215 since the beginning of, you know, basically, you know, the COVID era, beginning of 2020, and not a lot of homers to show for it. So yeah, over his last 400 plate appearances, he's hitting about
210. He's hesitant. There's something. Mm-hmm. It's not clicking. He's hesitant in the box. He wants to take pitches. I don't have all the, you know, nerd math in front of me to like tell you how many pitches he's taking per at bat and this is increased, etc. But we don't got to dig super deep to help you win your fantasy baseball league on Mike Moustakas tonight. But I think you can do better. George Costanza would even agree. You could do better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of that, I wonder if Jason Alexander for the Brewers is going to
stick
around in the lineup. But yeah, that's a perfect segue to talk about end things here with a little bit of a Fab preview over the next 10 minutes. But some teams that I kind of dug into and just, you know, curious your thoughts here on teams with really good schedules. You know, for example, you've got the Toronto Blue Jays. Obviously, their bats have been heating up. Maybe Vladdy Guerrero's wrist is improving, but over the next 2 weeks, and this is after the weekend, the Toronto Blue Jays, they'll get three games at Kansas City, three at Detroit. So there's some bad bullpens and some bad rotations. And then they'll face the Orioles for four, but at home, which obviously is a good thing. And then the Yankees for three. So the only problem with Toronto, all these guys are taken for the most part. You might be, you know, sort of bottom barreling it if you're really desperate in 15 teamers with like a Biggio or Ramel Tapia. But for the most part, you just locking in all these guys. So if you have Blue Jays, I think you have some good things coming to you. And then the San Diego Padres, check this out. They get this week, seven games or next week, three against the Mets, four against Colorado. Those games are at home. The following week, they go for four at Chicago, face the Cubs, and then three at Colorado. So for the most part, they're going to be facing right-handed pitching. Jerkson Profar, by the way, he's available in about 20 to 30% of 12 teamers in the NFBC. He's been leading off every single day. So, and perhaps it's the return of Trent Grisham. We've seen his bat heat up just a little bit over the past week. I think we sit him this weekend with the two lefties, but then it might be time to get Grisham going a little bit. So I like him as well. Really nice schedule for that team.
I think that'll be the time to actually sit Kim too, when they get those heavy right-handed pitchers, maybe. But the schedule is tasty for them. You slightly brushed on Kevin Biggio, and I kind of want to circle back to that a little bit. I think that maybe he could be a slight cheap source of speed in a good team hitting at the lower part of the lineup. Maybe. We are seeing a little bit more of increased volume from him. He's putting the bat on the ball a little bit more than we'd like to see as of late. So since May 26th, he has started in every game except for one. So that's nice to see. And he has gotten a few hits. So I keep a little eye on him. If you're desperate for somebody at corner infield or utility, I think that the Blue Jays, like you mentioned, they are waking up. We all knew that they're going to wake up. They are going to wake up. They are waking up, whatever you want to deem it. And good things can happen at the bottom of the lineup as well. Things are going to turn over similar to like the Dodgers. And if you're facing the Kansas City and Detroit starting rotations along with their bullpens, he's going to get his opportunities as well. So, yeah, Kevin Biggio, I'm kind of in on him. Text Rob and see where he's at on him. Rob was early, by the way. I've been meaning to message Rob and tell him you were way early on the Edwin Rios party because Rob was pouncing. He was ready for it to happen at opening day, and it just happened for a few.
For what? He was waiting for what? For Biggio not to make
Edwin
the team?
No. Edwin Rios. He was at the beginning of the season. He was like all like ready to roll. Like, this is Edwin Rios. He's going to take it. And what's happening now? He was just early to the party. He was ahead of it.
I drafted Edwin Rios in my live main event. I drafted him in the 30th round. He was my sneaky, they're going to Colorado and playing righties. And that didn't happen. And so I think everyone obviously, you dropped them. He didn't play. But yeah, I was in on that train.
Okay. Okay. So you, Rob. It could be coming to fruition now. I think if you added him, I know, even people were kind of getting a little bit aggressive, even in OCs, which was kind of interesting to see about that. So it's going to be, I'm curious to see how it shakes out once Max Muncy returns, but I think the people that are holding on or hoping that Max Muncy is going to turn a corner because he's coming off the IL, I think that you're going to be sorely mistaken, and he could be cut even more after that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Two more teams, by the way, that I feel you. I mean, I really don't know. I think that maybe the injury could be affecting him all season, the elbow, Max Muncy. So we'll see how that shakes out. But hitting 150 prior to his IL stint.
Is the elbow going to get better, though?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I mean, it theoretically should. Two more teams, by the way, for the next couple of weeks after this weekend to keep an eye out for. Cleveland Guardians, they'll face the Texas Rangers and the Oakland A's. They'll get three games apiece against them. Then they'll go to Colorado. So go to the Rockies. And so that's a pretty decent schedule. Oscar Gonzalez, the rookie, has been looking really good. Maybe Stephen Kwan gets going. Owen Miller, those guys have really quieted down. And then, Oscar Gonzalez, he's available in about 21% of 15 team main events. He was not picked up everywhere. I'd also keep an eye on Franmil Reyes and how he's doing, if he's rehabbing, because he could be back next week as well. So that's a nice schedule. And then the Atlanta Braves, they're pretty much, everybody has, these guys are all rostered, but their next four series are against basically bottom barrel teams. They'll get the Oakland A's, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Washington Nationals, the Chicago Cubs over the next 2 weeks. The two guys that you can pick up that should be not widely available, but at least in 20% of 12 teamers, Michael Harris, the rookie, if he sticks around, he's somebody to look at. And then maybe keep an eye out for any signs of Adam Duvall heating up at the plate. He's been horrific this season. But if he gets going, he's a streaky bat who was among the RBI leaders last year. He's somebody we may want to take a look at as well.
I'm going to dismiss the Braves just because you're kind of going to roll your dudes that are getting their burn there, especially with those matchups. But when we look at the Cleveland Guardians real quick, you mentioned some interesting guys, especially the rookie in Gonzalez. I'm sorry, let me filter this real quick. So when Franmil Reyes returns, he's going to end up getting that DH burn. And then when that DH, spot gets filled up by Franmil, that sort of pushes Josh Naylor back to the outfield. That becomes a question mark with Oscar Gonzalez, right? That's kind of my only cause of concern right now. I think you hold, you wait and see what happens, but that story is going to kind of be written on its own once Franmil Reyes returns. And then the other person is Stephen Kwan here, who has been really, really, really bad. He's providing nothing. He's not giving you home runs. He's not giving you stolen bases. And then when you look at the team landscape, he's not going to be really an RBI contributor because of the lack of the power. And then the contact rate and the batting average is kind of correlated, obviously. And that has been on a steady decline as well. So he has been cut by a lot of NFBC managers over the last few weeks. He's now down from 100% to 64%. So he's been cut in over a third of main event leagues. And I'm curious to see where that trend goes. They do have a soft schedule, like you mentioned, against Texas and Oakland. But does somebody like that? Let me ask you. I've got two questions for you, and one's kind of way off topic. It's a fab question. But the Stephen Kwan, if you needed a fifth outfielder or utility hitter, does Stephen Kwan do it for you? Like, right?
I don't know.
No home runs, no speed, no RBIs. He's not really hitting the ball right now. Like, so he's not a contact hitter that's not hitting the ball right now. That's not great.
He doesn't do it for you. And that's kind of the problem. You know, I mentioned him in the lineup and everything, but yeah, I think sometimes at least I fall for the, it's a good name who should be rostered and they have a good schedule coming up. So let me just, you know, take him, but, or at least put him in the bid group. But yeah, just got to prioritize those properly and look at it, take away the name and really what is his name, right? Until outside of his start to the season, it wasn't like, you know, oh my God, you know, everybody was all over Stephen Kwan. We just had that, you know, 1 week victory lap. So yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. You know who else we forgot when we were talking about the Padres? No more Mazzara, by the way. I think he's going to be a hot one this weekend. He was in 367 and he was in 367.
Save that for the fat piece. That's a good note, because people are going to, they have already been asking about it in the FTN Fantasy Discord. And I think that he's going to be, you know, depending on how much he gets penciled into the lineup or put in the lineup over this next, you know, few days up to Sunday, it will be interesting. With the Stephen Kwan though, I still have a fab question with the Stephen Kwan deal. There's somebody kind of similar, but better obviously and more established. But if Stephen Kwan was the real deal, he'd be like an Alex Verdugo, right? Like Verdugo's got more power than him, but you get what I'm kind of saying?
Yeah.
And I texted Zach Betancourt the other day, and I was kind of, spiping up my boy Verdugo. I went to that White Sox game when Phil Dussault, covered for me on the podcast, and Dougie had a few hits, had a few RBIs, and I was telling Doug Roth at the game, Doug was kind of giving me shit like, yeah, you know, he hasn't been that good. I'm like, nah, he's waking up, man, and he can do it quick. He can get that batting average up to 300 like you wouldn't know it. Like, he can do it. And lo and behold, Dougie's got 10 RBIs in his last 39 at-bats, and it's kind of like coming together quickly. But and as I'm like hyping him up, even to Zach, who is, we're on the same team, on the same main event that's doing well, so he's obviously rooting for him. In this text, I tell him, but he doesn't have any home runs and he doesn't have any stolen bases. And he's like, yeah, dude. And that's fucking huge. And it is like, you gotta give a little pop. You gotta get on, you gotta swipe a bag. Like, man, it fucking hurts, you know? And so like, come on, Dougie, you've got all the fire in you. Like, let's, at least when you're getting on base, let's move a little bit. Let's scoot. Let's, you know, we need a little bit more,
Yep. It's true. I mean,
Let me give you my fat question though. I can't forget this. It's about Brandon Belt. He was cut in my main event, dude.
Oh, well, the answer is yes.
Okay. All right. I'll text you, you know, about that one and the situation, but I thought that was funny. I saw him and I thought of you immediately, especially because it's
the main event. Get him. Let's wrap things up here with, I'm going to throw out a few pitchers that are interesting in 15 teamers that people might start to be looking into. And let me know if you like any of these guys, and we'll end it on that. But you got Keegan Thompson for the Chicago Cubs, reliever converted to starter. He's available in about 75% of main events. He gets the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend. He's been getting stretched out a little bit, hasn't allowed two runs in any of his starts, only three starts, but even then, he's looking pretty good. One of the more solid guys there. You got Kyle Bradish, who was getting demolished up until his most recent start. He was, you know, was a little better. His fastball is working a little better. He gets the Cubs and at Kansas City, and he's available in about 44% of main events. Our boy Mitch White, he's available in 45% of main events. A little bit of a tough combo there at San Francisco, at the White Sox, and then the last guy. So far we've got Keegan Thompson, Kyle Bradish, Mitch White, and Jose Quintana, available in about 19% of main events. He's only allowed two homers in his last 10 starts. Didn't make it through the five innings against the Dodgers, but still, he's kind of been hanging in there, 2.32 ERA. His xERA, his Sierra is about two runs higher than that, so there's some concern there. But he's facing a Detroit Tigers lineup that basically is the worst group of hitters against lefties. And then Atlanta strikes out at the second highest clip against against lefty. So of those four, who would you feel most comfortable about for the week? Who would be at the top of your bid list?
It's okay. So there's a lot of ways I want to chop this up, but I'll try and go quick. So Kyle Bradish actually, I think, could be a blessing in disguise if he was cut because people were tired of his shit. Versus the Cubs and at Kansas City, that's pretty optimal, and he does have the strikeout upside. And Mitch White, sneakily, I know that you mentioned at San Francisco and at Chicago as being tough matchups, but currently, if you start looking over the last 7 to 10 days and start looking at the data and metrics, both offenses have been pretty damn bad for the Giants and the White Sox. So Mitch White does possess the pedigree, and he have 7 strikeouts last night, albeit that they lost to the Pirates. I'd have some interest in him as well. So those would be the two that I would actually look to legitimately roster and roll out next week. I would be okay with that, SP 6 or 7 spot. I'd be all right with that in the main event. Keegan Thompson, he's currently on the mound. He's in line to get another win. He's gone 5 1/3, allowed 2 earned runs. 5 hits, 1 walk, so the whip's nice as well with only 3 strikeouts, but he's facing a tough St. Louis team at home in Wrigley. At Baltimore, I don't know, man, and I understand that the park adjustments and stuff, but I have respect for this Orioles lineup, and I think they're kind of clicking a little bit, and they're putting up some runs, and they can be pesky, and I don't really like betting against them that often as well. So the two for me would be Bradish and White over Keegan Thompson. Thompson would be third, and then Quintana – he's kind of, you either miss the boat or you don't sometimes. And I think Martin Perez would be the example of missing the boat. Maybe things are coming together, figuring out the lower part of the zone, et cetera. What Perez is doing, we're not going to deep dive on that. But Quintana, you're going to start like you did. You mentioned some things that he's doing well. You mentioned the matchups. I'm just not fucking buying into it yet. So for me, I'm kind of just out right now. That could be a lazy approach. So be it. But it's just, I'm not doing it.
That's fine. And that's the thing. You don't have to have every player. And you also don't want to, you don't want to catch the tail end of something. Like if you're seeing indicators that tell you that the other shoe is going to drop, we're not seeing that with Martin Perez, but we are seeing that with Jose Quintana. And then you're seeing an at Atlanta matchup that, you know, that just may not be worth it. So you
also,
might be
also
something there.
The strikeout upside, right? Like we do know Bradish can possess that, especially against Chicago, or even Kansas City. He can rack up strikeouts. We can see, we've seen it. We've seen an 11 strikeout. Have we seen an 11 strikeout game from Quintana? When the fuck was the last time we saw that? You need a whole thing, Back to the Future, but it's not happening. You know what I mean? So I'd rather roll the dice on good matchups, but with a guy with the upside on the strikeouts, at least. Right. Mm-hmm. So Bradish is definitely going to take that for me over Quintana. And same with Mitch White. You've got the youth and you've got a higher K rate. So yeah. And they have 2 steps. Fuck. Yeah, get out. Or I guess Quintana has the 2 steps too. But Atlanta, no, get out of here.
Yeah.
I get why you brought him up. I'm not telling you to get out. I get why you mentioned. People are going to fall into the trap, but I'm sure Mark Cerebro is going to have some cute Excel spreadsheet with short acronyms and some sort of, you know, 2-sentence comment on Quintana this week. But it's a trap.
It's a trap. Keegan Thompson, interesting. He the following week he would get San Diego and Atlanta at home in tough. Chicago. So we'll see. I think maybe there's something long term there with him. He could be a solid arm for the long term. Either way, he would be kind of lower down in the bid priority, but he could end up being the sneaky one there. So keep an eye out for the article this weekend. It should be out on Saturday morning. Maddie is going to have the hitter planner for you on Sunday afternoon to prepare you for the week. And
we should have mentioned that earlier. We should have mentioned the hitting planner earlier. So look at it Sunday nights before your fab. So read first and foremost, read Vlad's fab article. Do people have a hard time saying that? Or do you ever have a hard time saying that? You just got used to saying that Vlad's fab.
Vlad's Flab. Vlad's, yeah, no, yeah, say that fast.
Yeah, see, there you go. So yeah, read that first, obviously, to kind of digest, you know, where things are at, but then go over to the hitting planner as well as the pitching planner, obviously. But when you're looking at the hitting side of things, you'll see that the current injuries of every player, what they're dealing with, you'll see the schedule, you'll see the most recent 7 days of data. So which teams are doing good, which teams are doing bad. And then you'll also see that per player. So who's leading in average stolen bases, every roto category that we care about, who's been doing well per player for that. And then I go into park factors for the first part of the week and then over the weekend. So, you know, going over the weekend, that would be the part where you kind of click on it again and go over to see who's got the advantage for park factors, who might have a disadvantage for park factors. And then you can always go to the bottom and you'll have the Excel spreadsheet with rankings and color-coded tiers. And that's all available at ftnfantasy.com. And I'm sure by now, since baseball season's already a third of the way through or close to, and football season is ramping up, I know just even by going to ftnfantasy.com, the football content is absolutely flooded right now. So I'm sure there's some sort of package. I don't have off the top of my head what it is, but I'm sure baseball's included in some sort of football package at this yep. point. So if you're listening to this yep. and you're interested in football, what is it, Vlad?
I mean, you know, just go to ftnfantasy.com/pricing and it's the platinum package. So
okay. And yeah, and it'll include baseball and football, et cetera. So all sorts of good stuff. And Vlad, I cannot wait to see you next week. We're going to have an absolute blast. So we'll be sure to post some photos and maybe some videos over on Twitter. And yeah, holler at us on Twitter at any time. I'm on Twitter @_MattyWood_, and Vlad is on Twitter @RotoGut.
Yes, Vlad? That'll do it. So thank you, everybody. Matt, I'll see you next weekend. For Matthew Davis, I'm Vlad Sedler. This is the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with Matthew Davis and Vlad Sedler. Make sure to follow your host on Twitter @_MattyWood_ and @RotoGut. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.